Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another edition of Bill Roden on Sports Bros Pod. I'll be talking with Bill coming up about the upcoming week 3 of the NFL season. And of course, we'll focus on how the black quarterbacks are doing, keep you updated on all that. And of course, Justin Fields gets his first start of the season this week. So that'll be fun. So we'll talk about all that and more coming up. But first, we have a couple words from our sponsors. Bet Online is a sponsor of Bros Pod. We're back and better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back on to start another football season. As always, Bet Online is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With a new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, Bet Online continues to be the number one choice for everything football. So head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up. Don't forget to use promo code NFL100. BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. We are also brought to you by Balance 7. So, I don't know if you've heard, but apparently former NBA player Lamar Odom may be returning to professional basketball in Spain soon. Apparently, he's going to try out for Pau Gasol's team. He's been taking a new product he owes all the credit to, Balance 7. Balance 7 is a pH-balancing alkaline supplement drink. It's like vitamins or supplements in liquid form. Just 1 ounce a day, 3 times a day, and in a week, you'll see the effects. As you can see, Balance 7 has helped Lamar Odom. And right now, if you get to balance7.com and use the promo code BELIEVE, you'll get $10 off their 32-ounce bottle. The bottle lasts 11 days, which is the perfect amount of time to feel the pH-balancing drink go to work. Again, that's balance7.com and use the code BELIEVE at checkout. If it worked for him, it can work for you too. So hold tight, and Bill and I will be right back to discuss week 3 of the NFL.
Hey everybody, welcome to another version of Bill Roden on Sports. I'm Bill Roden, someplace in New York City, on a nice September autumn afternoon, 5 days. What's today?
The 24th.
Today is 24th. So it's 6 days after my daughter got married.
Yes. Congratulations.
Last Saturday. Yep. So great event. And now I'm a father of a married daughter, which is different.
So you feel different already?
Yeah, I kind of felt different before.
Okay.
Now I really feel different. You know, it is quite different, but very happy for them. And it was a great 4-day wedding. Very beautiful.
So you got to tell us a little about the wedding, because I saw pictures. So other people saw pictures on Instagram. It looked beautiful.
Yeah, just it was. It was out East Hampton. Mm-hmm. Thursday they had the welcome dinner. It was very nice. All her friends, everybody spoke about her. There were a lot of speeches.
Okay. You know,
the next day, there was a small wedding ceremony in the church. Then, of course, Saturday was the... Then there was a beach party that night. Okay. okay. which was very nice. Everybody had a great time. And then the wedding ceremony on Saturday, my role was basically to walk her down the aisle. It was outdoors on grass. Mm-hmm. I walked her down the grass, did not trip. That was my big thing. Didn't trip, didn't step on her train.
You know. let me ask you. So you walk your daughter down the aisle. That's like a, you know, all fathers. It's like, you know, made out to be, you know, it's like something, a big deal. Is that something you always thought of? Like you always kind of look forward to, like, oh, you know, I have a daughter and I wonder when that time is going to come where I have to walk her down the aisle.
No, not really. I mean, I don't know if you grow up thinking about that, you know, as a father, but, you know, but it was very dramatic. You know, you walk your daughter down the aisle and then basically hand her off to, you know, I wasn't choked up. I know a lot of times people like just weeping and all that.
Right. Yeah, I can't see you being, you know, crying.
Yeah, I was just trying to, you know, just do my job and basically not screw it up.
Right.
And then you hand them over, then you kind of just duck over to the side. And that's it.
That's the true metaphor right there.
Yeah, you kind of out the picture. And, you know, her husband's family is Nigerian.
Uh-huh.
There was a big Nigerian contingent there.
Okay.
I got to spend time with her father. And his mother, you know, and you know, he's one of five, so he had like two sisters, two other brothers who I'd known and been around. So all in all, I'd say it was nice. Then Sunday they had a nice brunch, post wedding brunch,
right?
And it was good. You know, it was great. It was a great event, well planned out. You know, Sharon, my former wife, did an excellent job of helping to organize it. It was done with loving care, so it was great. So just save your money. So I can say, you got two boys,
right?
And although they're young, you still got to get through college and
high school,
and the whole thing, you know?
Right. The long haul.
Yeah, but it'll be there, as they say, before you know it.
Right.
As everybody said, and it's true.
It flew by. Time flew.
It did. It kind of, you know, and you have time after all this to reflect on everything. So that was, but it was great. It was a great event. And I forgot Sunday with the brunch. And I forgot it was Football Sunday.
Yes. Well, that's a good sign if you forgot about it.
Yeah, I was immersed in post-wedding stuff. So, but good, man. It was as they say, a good time was had by all.
Right, so right. Well, like I said, all the pictures look beautiful. Congratulations to Raisa. And what's her husband's name?
Our husband is Indu.
Indu.
Indu Okereke.
Okay.
So still don't have to figure out the last name yet. I don't know. She's a keeper name, which I like. Raisa Lopez Rosen.
Yeah.
Okereke.
Right.
You know.
My wife and I still haven't figured that out.
Is that right? So her name is still her name?
Her name is still her name, but my wife officially changed her name, like legally changed her name, about a year or so ago, but she still uses her name. You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of both.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what's going on.
That's a pretty amazing thing when you think about it. Like, think about you if you had to change your name.
Yeah, it's that's why I don't even get involved. It doesn't, because I can't imagine, like, I can't relate to having to do that. So I can, you know, if you want to change. I mean, it's doing nothing for me. I think one of her big, I mean, what she told me her big reason was that she wanted to have the same last name as her children.
Right.
So, which is weird too, right? You know, the children take the men. I never have to worry about any of that. So,
right. And then, you know, as you have two sons, the way the tradition goes, the sons will always have your last name.
Right.
Where if you had daughters, then it gets weird. You have to worry about succession and, you know, which is,
yeah.
you know, the whole woman's place in all this, I think, is just, you know, it's
it could be better. It's bizarre when you think about it.
Yeah, when you really think about Me Too and sexual abuse and you know, and even you know,
it's almost like I was having this discussion with someone. It turned into this discussion about names and you know, taking the husband's name and whether, but it is similar to slavery, where you just take the other person's name because they were supposedly your master in a way, you know?
Right. Yeah. No. And then, you know, you also realize the whole child thing. You're in the workplace competing, you know, climbing the corporate ladder,
right?
And you have children,
right?
And how that's really real. I mean, how does that affect your climb up the ladder?
Oh,
you know, you have to be knocked out for a year or whatever.
Right.
You know, you kind of see all this stuff, particularly with somebody in your family.
Right.
You know.
Yep.
And particularly, there's an expectation that, well, okay, now you're married, now you're gonna have children.
Right.
You say, well, wait a minute. You know, I've got a career. I want.
Right. Yeah. And a lot of the women I grew up with who have been very successful career wise are not married and have no children.
Hmm.
And I don't think that's a coincidence.
Yeah. Yeah. Particularly, you don't want it to be a liability. You know, marriage is supposed to be an enhancement and not just for the guy.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody who's helping guide you.
Right.
So, yeah, that's a lot to think about, you know.
Well, that's what we do on Bill Rodenau Sports.
Yeah.
You never know what we're going to make you think about.
I know. So all you fathers have daughters, think about that.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I mean, this whole thing about women's rights is real.
Very real.
And it becomes real as your daughters get older and are in the workplace or looking for a mate. And everything from who gets whose last name to, you know, what happens when they have children, how do you kind of compensate for, you know, it's like a pit stop in a way, like in a race, like a pit stop. You know, everywhere else is like, zoom, you know, going around, you got it. You know, I never knew how I did that in racing. When you took a pit stop, how do you go back and make up for lost time?
I'm not sure, you know, obviously I'm not a big racing fan, but that is, I've always wondered about that also, but I assume does every car have to make a pit stop? So if everybody has to do it.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know, unless you have like.
We got to get Brad Daugherty on. Well,
maybe we should get Matt Daugherty on, get Daugherty on, Daugherty, to help us explain. We should reach out to him, try to get him on the show.
Yeah, because you know, they're doing a lot with a lot more with trying to diversify that game as well.
Yeah,
the racing game, and I think he's pretty you know, entrenched into that aspect of it also.
He's a big advocate,
right?
He's a big advocate. So yeah, we should get him on the show. Want to talk about it. So.
So you were having so much fun, you missed. You forgot about
NFL Sunday.
NFL Sunday. So did you see any of the action?
I may have snuck in a couple of highlights just to see
okay,
who did well. Because, you know, we do our annual, we're going to do our weekly black quarterback roundup.
Right.
So I was trying to curious to find out who did what. Just generally, I mean, we tend not to discuss like sports specifically because you can get that from a trillion different channels. But 2 weeks into the NFL season, are you surprised by anything? This will be our general NFL discussion.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised by Carolina's success. They're 3-0. They won last night, took care of the Texans, but they did lose their best player in McCaffrey. So we'll see.
He's kind of getting to the injury prone status, right?
Yeah, but you know, what running back is it?
Right.
You know, I mean, that's got to be the hardest job in sports, period.
I agree.
If you're a running back for 2 years in the NFL, you've been through it.
Right.
Like, I mean, it's just watch when you watch the games and see what these running backs go through. It's just amazing.
Yeah, it's nuts to be a running back. I forgot I was talking to somebody. I said, I never got the running back position. You know, other positions, you kind of get it. You know, even when you play touch football, sometimes you rush the passer or you play coverage. But being a running back, taking the ball and then just running right into this ball, quick ball. And you know, it's like, I said, man, what kind of mentality is that?
Well, you know, I mean, you think as a running back, I played a little running back in high school. And, you know, you're trying to find the hole. It is a glamour position. You get the ball. You know, you can make some moves, make people miss. At least that's what you go in thinking. Right. And then you're right. It's a lot harder because, you know, you take hits. You know, you'd be fourth and one. It's you who got to drive into that line and
right.
dive into the mud. If it's, you know, but in the NFL where athletes, you know, keep getting stronger and faster, and to see the running back position has just become like you're like a crash test dummy.
Right. Like, the kid from, Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
From Memphis. Not Memphis, but
Tennessee.
Yeah, Tennessee Titans. I mean, you know, this guy is unbelievable.
Yeah, but yeah. He happens to be bigger than everybody.
Yeah,
and I still
he was like that in high school.
Right, but he's still taking a beating. I would really honestly just want to talk to a running back, and just really get their honest opinion on what it's like to play that position. You know, I mean, I just don't know any other position in sports that takes such a beating, and it's such wear and tear.
I know. I mean, if you get an NFL back who's like a 5-year vet,
that's a career. That's, and you know, you used to say, 5 years, it means 5-year career means you weren't good.
Right.
Oh, as a running back, you could have been great and had a 5-year career. I was listening to Sirius NFL radio yesterday, and someone had a funny stat. They're talking about Tom Brady, and they're talking about all of the retired players who are younger than Tom Brady.
Hmm.
You know who's younger than Tom Brady?
Who?
Edgerrin James.
Oh, wow.
Edgerrin James is younger than Tom Brady, and he hasn't played in the NFL since, I want to say, 2012.
Right. You're right. You're right. You're right.
He's been retired 9 years.
Yeah. I mean, he's a running back.
Right.
Yeah.
And he's went into the Hall of Fame.
Yep. Which was good for him. But yeah,
right.
So that's one position I would never play.
Right.
You know, tried to get me to do that when I got to Morgan because they just had 3 hours of cloud of dust and they ran like a wing back. They had a wing back. And on passing downs, the wing back would then split out.
Right.
And I was a freshman. When I got to Morgan, I was a receiver. So I guess they were trying to figure out, man, if he could run the ball, we could just keep him in the game. And they had me. Like, I remember two series of downs. You know, in practice, see if I could. And they just looked at it, no way. It's impossible. I said, thank you very much. You know, just go. We'll call you in on passing down. Then, of course, the next year, I switched to defensive back.
Right.
Because the running back thing. I just didn't get it. I remember taking the hand off a couple of times. I'm like, what? I'm running full speed. And you got these big, gruesome guys, you know. And then, heaven forbid, one of your linemen miss a block.
Oh, man.
And you just get tattooed. Oh, man. But, you know, like you said, it's a glamour position.
Right, because you have the ball.
So,
I mean, you know, getting back to surprises, the Panthers are surprised. You got Darnold, who's having a pretty good season so far. He's showing what a disaster the Jets were. As an organization, as a coaching staff, when he was there, he's making them look bad. And then you got the other big surprise to me is the Raiders, who are 2-0, and I didn't expect that. You got John Gruden is still there, but they've beaten the Ravens and they've beaten the Steelers. They were you know favored to lose in both of those games, so you got to say the Raiders are a big surprise.
Yeah, it's hard. Gruden is a hard guy to pull for. I gotta say, you know.
Hmm.
But yeah, 2-0. You know, we've seen these starts before.
Right.
People get off to like 4-5, and then they end the season like 11-5 or
Right. Or like 8-8 or whatever.
8-8.
And remember, remember this season, and I keep forgetting, this season is a 17-game season. So right. Now all the records we were used to, you know, no more 8-8s. Now it's 8-9. Or
I know.
What 9-8 will be, you know.
So. I know. What a grind. Two of it. They still have 15 more of these to go.
Oh,
you know, which is a lot. Yeah.
Good luck to the running backs.
Yeah. Yeah. Forget it. I guess if you're a running back, you should really – versatility should be – you know, you could play in a slot.
Right.
You could catch passes. You could just do more than just run in the line and get destroyed.
Right. You should want a running back by committee nowadays. Right. I mean, now teams seem to want that now. But if I'm a player, I want that.
Yeah, I want running back by committee too.
Right.
Then they'll screw you contract negotiations. Well, you know.
That's true.
You know, we have running back by committee. So, you know, we got to split this up three ways. So, yeah. But so Carolina's surprised. I can't see that lasting. But I do like, I'm glad for Donald.
Right.
You know, I am happy for Donald because he did get a bad shape in New York. Arizona, look like you said, Arizona's looking strong.
Yeah, Arizona's strong.
I'm happy for it. We'll get into that when we talk about our black quarterback run up. Raiders, you know, 2-0. But 2-0 is a lot different than 4-0.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know, by what mark do you start to take it seriously?
I think, you know, I would say four or five games is the beginning. Right. Where you could take it seriously. That's the big key is nothing at this point, everything is an overreaction. Nothing means anything. It's two games in, anything can happen.
Right.
You know, so it doesn't, you know, like you got Denver is 2-0 and probably about to be 3-0 because they play the Jets.
They play the Jets.
But they haven't played anybody good. They beat the Giants and they beat the Jaguars. So what does that mean? It doesn't mean anything.
And the Jaguars, of course, 0-2.
Right.
Speaking of guys hard to cheer for.
Right, Urban Meyer.
Urban Meyer. Yeah.
Yeah. That I think means something. The 0-2, I think, is representative of what they are.
You know how this guy will react if he's like 0-6? You know.
Well, I mean, he's gonna get a pass this year anyway because you know he's rebuilding.
Right.
Rookie quarterback. Remember
rookie quarterback.
Remember back in the day, rookie quarterbacks used to routinely go 1-15 or whatever, 2-14.
Right. Yeah. So we'll see. And then 49ers.
Yeah.
They're 2-0. We'll wait to see your guy, Trey Lance. But, you know, Garoppolo is, you know, keeping him on the bench.
Yeah. You know, he's a good game manager. They have a good defense. They have solid players around him. So he can kind of just play the role. And I think, you know, Trey Lance is probably going to be he's going to go the Mahomes route. Like he probably won't see much time this year unless Garoppolo gets hurt.
Which he may.
Which he may.
He always has.
Right. And yeah, which anybody may in this league. So, you know, I mean, I don't think he'll play unless he's pressed into action. But, you know, he got in the game in game one and threw a touchdown pass. You know, they put him in the red zone around the 5-yard line, threw a touchdown pass. But game two, he didn't get that opportunity against the Eagles. So we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess that segues over to our black quarterback. We should have music. We have some music to announce our segment.
Right.
We'll
come up with some.
Yeah. Our black quarterback roundup for the week.
Right.
You know, you have some numbers. And then of course, Justin Fields in Chicago should have my brother on.
Yes. We got to get your brother back on.
Yeah, Justin Fields.
Let's see how he performs this week, and then we got to get your brother back.
We'll get Gerard on. So the Bears play. Who the Bears play?
The Bears are at Cleveland this week.
That's tough. That's a tough first matchup.
Yeah, that's a tough first matchup. Cleveland, very good defense. But, you know, I mean – as a, you know, from a team perspective, a lot of people would argue you'd rather have Fields out there against a tough defensive line. At least he can get away. Unlike Dalton, I don't, you know, as far as the team goes, a lot of people think Fields will give him a better chance to compete this week.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. I mean, he's still a first year player.
Right.
He came in. He came in last week in relief of Dalton, who got hurt his knee.
Trying to do a justice. That's not your skill set.
Trying to imitate the black quarterback, and he hurt his knee pretty fast. Justin Fields came in and he was 6 for 13, 60 yards. He did throw a pick six at a crucial time that let Cincinnati back in the game. But, you know, he's a rookie, so people give him a pass on that. He did make some good throws. He's very confident. You know, he's very, very confident. When he's in the press conferences, you know, he's like, this is where I'm supposed to be. I'm ready for this opportunity. I know I'm going to make mistakes, but, you know, he doesn't show any fear. So that's a good sign.
That's a good sign. A good sign of young people. That's why employers like young people. No fear, run through the brick wall.
Right.
You know, all the stuff that you need to exploit.
But it's going to be a tough task for him. But, you know, there's no expectations for him this week to win. So if he comes up with a great performance, it's all gravy.
Everybody knows he can't play terribly, though.
Yeah, well, look at Zach Wilson for the Jets. He threw four interceptions against New England, and you know he's still around.
That's the Jets. Then next, we got your boy with the Ravens, Lamar Jackson. Great Sunday night game.
Yes.
Great Sunday night game. Great performance.
Oh, great performance! Great performance from Lamar. He beats his rival Mahomes for the first time. He ran. I got to pull up these stats, but he led the team. In fact, he's the third. He's third in the NFL in rushing right now. Lamar Jackson is.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and he ran. He threw for over 200 yards. Ran for over 100 yards. He comes out with the win over Mahomes. He does a flip in the end zone.
Hurts himself
on the play and hurts his hip. I didn't know about that one. Even, hey, I guess, you know, it's all about having fun out there. But
I guess. Yeah. Hopefully that doesn't screw him up.
Right.
You know. But yeah, great performance. Yeah.
And we had talked earlier that he needed to step up, you know, both on and off the field. I mean, that was a step up performance, even though Kansas City fumbled, looked like Mahomes was driving and probably they get the go ahead score to win the game. But you know, the defense
was a
makes
freak
a big
fumble
play
too. But you know, that's all part of the game.
Yeah, it's all part of the game.
Yeah. Then we have the Chiefs, Mahomes, played well.
Oh yeah.
Typical Mahomes. But he did throw an interception.
Yeah, he threw it's hard to complain about what he did offensively. He was 24 for 31 against the Ravens, 343 yards, three touchdowns. He did have that interception. Quarterback rating of 131.5.
What was Jackson's quarterback rating?
78.9. Huh. But that doesn't account for Lamar Jackson's 107 yards on the ground and two TDs. So you gotta balance that out.
Yeah.
It's just his pure passer rating. I mean, he did have a bad game. He was 18 to 26, 239 yards, a TD, and two interceptions. Remember, he started the game off throwing a pick six.
Pick six.
Exciting news. Our pod is partnering with PlayActionPools.com this season to bring some interactive fun to the sport we love most. You'll be able to get in on the action with our PlayActionPools.com Football Pick'em Challenge, which is open to everyone. Here's how it works. Sign up for our contest, Believe Football Pick'em, at PlayActionPools.com, and then get your picks in each week. We're going to select the 10 highest profile games of the week between NFL and college football. Whoever gets the most picks correct each week will win a pair of electric sunglasses and a pair of DC shoes. Again, go to PlayActionPools.com and sign up for the contest, Believe, B-L-E-A-V, Football Pick'em. And if you plan on hosting your own football contests, go to PlayActionPools.com today. They've got Survivor, Pick'em, as well as a cool sportsbook style concept called Build Your Bankroll. PlayActionPools.com, your new home for all your office sports pools.
Then, of course, we have your guy, Jameis Winston. Week one, he looked unreal. And week two, he looked unreal. So I guess week three,
right?
You got to figure out, because everybody was really happy for Jameis week one.
Right.
You know, really, you know, the comeback story.
Right.
And week two, though, like, oh, man.
Right. So let's recap this, Jameis, because I mean, we got to see who the real Jameis is, right?
Right.
So the first week, we know the story against Green Bay, 14 for 20, 148 yards, not a big yard game, but 5 touchdowns, no interceptions, a passer rating of 130.8. And then he comes back. So we're, you know, everybody's high on him. You know, I'm celebrating him. I'm like, oh, the new Jameis. You know, I'm so happy for him. So then he comes back week two, and he has a 26.9 quarterback rating.
Wow.
No touchdowns, 2 interceptions. He threw for 111 yards. So, I mean, you can't have different extremes.
Wow. So now we'll see. So so they're playing
the Patriots.
Who?
The Patriots.
Oh, boy. That could be tough.
Yeah. Maybe. What's your prediction, Bill?
Well, I'll go with the Saints just because I want, you know, Jameis Winston to do well.
No, but I mean, what do you think will happen? Well, and I'm talking about in terms of Winston.
His performance?
Yeah.
Their secondary is going to be tough.
Right.
You know. So I don't know. Like, I never said what I want to happen is him do well.
Right.
You know.
He just can't have another disastrous. You can't have another game with a 26.
If it's like this, they're going to be calling for the other guy.
Right, Taysom Hill.
Yeah. Yeah, what's wrong with Taysom Hill? You know? So, yeah, so Jameis, big, huge game for Jameis. Big game. Every game is a big game for Jameis.
That is true. Especially this whole season is big for Jameis.
Every single game. Then, of course, at the other end of the spectrum, we have Arizona.
Right.
You know, Jamal, what you're going to have to do every week is have black quarterback passing leaders.
Right.
You know, you're going to have to rank them.
Okay.
At the end of the year, we'll say, who was a black champion?
Right. And the black champion could turn out to be the overall champion. Just like Mahomes was a couple of years ago.
It could be. So now we've got you got Kyler Murray.
I know you saw those highlights.
I did. I did see his highlights. I snuck in those highlights. So, he looked tremendous, man.
Right. I mean, he has like, you know, close. Not he's not quite Lamar Jackson running, but he's close. I mean,
he's close.
He's close.
Plus, he's probably
he's a better passer.
Yeah.
He's a better natural passer. And he also has much better weapons too. He has Hopkins out there.
AJ Green.
AJ Green. They got the kid Kirk. They got a rookie. I think Rondale. I'm blanking on his last name, but they have a lot of weapons, but regardless of the weapons, I mean, you can just tell what he's doing out there is phenomenal. Yeah. You know, escaping the rush, everything's exciting. Has his arm he can throw from different angles. He can be going to his left, go back to his right. You know, 50 yards in the air type of stuff. He looks great. And Arizona was the one team in that league who was kind of slept on. It was supposed to be, you know, the NFC West with the Rams and the Seahawks and then San Francisco. And everybody was like, it's between those three teams. And nobody was talking about Arizona. Now, 2 weeks into the season, and like you just said, it's only 2 weeks. But now all the talking heads are like, you know, Arizona's right there. You know, they're right. You know, they could be the best team in the NFC. Yeah. I saw somebody say that the other day. So, and that's all on Kyler.
Yeah, Chandler Jones
right.
Is having so far 2 games like a great season.
Right.
You know, that would help to have a great defense like that will help Kyler Murray tremendously. So, yeah Kyler Murray is where I'd like to see statistically how you rank him. Then, of course, you have Denver with Teddy Bridgewater. Just what the doctor ordered for Denver. They said they started because they figured they looked at the schedule. Said, shit, we could be 3-0.
Right.
Before we put the guy Lock in the game. So, but Teddy Bridgewater is playing really, really, really good.
Yeah, no, Bridgewater. I mean, and you mentioned Tyrod Taylor. They're a lot alike. Neither one of them is that classic, you know, quote unquote black quarterback who's running and gaining yards
right.
in the rushing game. He's playing like the classic white quarterback role, like in the pocket, you know, making all the great decisions. And, you know, so far they've beaten the Giants and the Jaguars, so they haven't, and they get the Jets this week. So it's not like he played the best competition, but he had a great game in the first week. And then last week, again, I mean, you can't ask for more. 26 of 34, 328 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions, quarterback rating of 125.6. Mm. So, I mean, you can't ask for any more than that. I would expect him to carry that on, you know, against the Jets. And we know, like I said, same with Tyrod. These are solid, solid quarterbacks.
Yeah.
So he's doing what he's supposed to do. He's taking advantage of the lesser competition and putting up big numbers. And when he plays good competition, if he can have a solid game, that's all you're really asking for.
Who's their next big test? It's clearly not the Jets.
No, it's not the Jets. Their next big test. Well, they're gonna have the Ravens after the Jets.
That's a big test.
I mean, it gets harder for them right after the Jets. They got the Ravens. Then they're at the Steelers. Then they got the Raiders. Then they got the Browns, Washington. I mean, after the Jets, it's all hard.
Right, right. It's all uphill.
So that's when Bridgewater can really, you know, solidify himself and show people that this is not a fluke.
Yeah. And then we've got Seattle, Russell Wilson playing well. Yeah. A little surprised they lost that game Sunday.
Yeah, that was a weird game.
Yeah. They started off like killing them.
Yeah, they were killing them. And then Tennessee, you know, Tennessee's a good team. Tennessee last year, they beat Baltimore in the playoffs. They had that playoff run, lost to Kansas City. They got, you know, they basically have the same team. They added Julio Jones, so they have a lot of expectations themselves, and they were 0-1. So they were kind of desperate. You know those games where the 1-0 good team and the 0-1 team doesn't want to be 0-2, so they're desperate. So I'm not surprised they played them tough. Somehow they were able to squeak out that victory. But Russell Wilson is Russell Wilson. I mean, he's like the elder statesman of this black quarterback group.
Yeah,
we know where we're gonna get every week, which is, you know, very good play. And I feel like the last few seasons he's been very good in the first half of the season, and he's tailed off in the end, or the team has tailed off. I don't know who you want to blame.
Yeah, how much is that? Is him getting beaten up?
Right.
You know, as he complained about during the offseason.
Right. Yeah. But, you know, the first 2 weeks he's been great. He's had quarterback ratings in the you know, high 120s or 130s. So he's doing what he's supposed to do.
Good. And who do they play this week?
They're at the Vikings.
Okay.
So, I mean, Vikings are 0-2. They're desperate, but they're not well coached. And I could see Seattle, you know, bouncing back.
Yeah. And then we move to the Eagles.
And the Cowboys.
And the Cowboys. Two. You get a twofer.
It's the battle. It's week 3's battle of the black quarterbacks.
Battle of the brothers.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Who you got, Bill? Who you got? Jalen Hurts, Dak Prescott.
I'll take Dallas, but I really like the Jalen Hurts story.
Yes.
You know, I think they don't talk about his story enough. Here's a guy at Alabama who was like, you know, great. He's a freshman, then gets benched at halftime for Tua, leaves, you know, plays it out, you know, leaves, goes to Oklahoma, has a great career there. And now is starting for an NFL team. But that's a great story of resilience.
Oh, yeah. You
know, I've always admired that. I don't know him, but I've always admired that.
His college career, I mean, he showed great character, right? I mean, he was benched for two wins, but he still, you know, he didn't complain. He didn't say anything. He didn't complain. Still played well the next year. Then he transfers to Oklahoma, becomes a leader over there. You know, puts up huge numbers. Then he gets drafted by the Eagles. Wentz has his normal issues, and Hurts comes in and does a solid job. Then over the offseason and in the preseason, the buzz was that Jalen Hurts had the complete respect of his team, that he was, You know, he knew the playbook. He knew the playbook back and forth.
Jones.
Yeah, like Matt Jones, you know, and so he was that type of guy. And then he comes in the first week and he has a monster week. He kills Atlanta. Another guy, he had a 126 quarterback rating, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, 27 to 35, 264 yards against Atlanta. But then he played a tougher defense in San Francisco last week, and they brought him back down to earth. They lost 17-11, and they kind of were able to hold Hurts in check. He was 12 of 23, 190 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions, 80 passer rating, which is not a terrible game. You know, solid, but you know, he couldn't get it done. So he's, you know, what is he? It's just 2 games into the season. I'm pretty confident he's at least a very solid starting quarterback. That's what I see so far.
Yeah. This game against Dallas will be very important. You know, can he win more games than he loses?
Right.
You know, and can he stay healthy?
Right.
You know,
and he's at, it's at Dallas against a good team.
Yeah, that'll be tough.
Dak has been good too, though.
Yeah, Dak has been excellent.
Dak's similar, right? He coming off the injury, he had a great week one, you know, big time numbers. And then he was, you know, he was steady last week against the Chargers. They didn't put up much points. I don't think he threw for a touchdown, but he was able to guide them to that last second field goal, even though there was clock mismanagement on the coach's part.
Yeah. So, you know, each season, I've been surprised how much I've gotten into the NFL season. Do you feel any guilt about being a big NFL fan? About, you know, or being like most fans, and say, you know, it's just part of the game. Injuries, the head stuff.
Yeah, I only feel it when people ask me, especially about the injury stuff. I know I should. Like, if you ask me about it, I'm like, wow, yeah, you're right. I should.
Right, it's terrible.
This is terrible. I mean, what am I watching? I felt more guilt in terms of the other stuff, like the Kaepernick stuff, over the past couple of years. Like, extreme guilt. Like, you know, didn't even really want to watch, but it was, you know, I would come up with excuses why I watched. This year, it's kind of waned off. You know, that Kaepernick stuff. He's still not playing, by the way. And if he had never done anything, I'm sure he'd still be in the league. If he would have never taken a knee or anything like that, he'd be somewhere, either backup or play or starting somewhere right now. Yeah. So
what about the defensive back? He's not playing either.
Yeah, he's not playing. Eric Reed. He's out of the league.
He's out of the league. And it's, you know.
So I mean, yeah, it's. Now that you mention it, now you have me feeling guilty.
Yeah, but you're going to watch this weekend.
Yes, I'll watch this weekend.
Yeah. Most people will.
Most people will.
Yeah. So to wrap up, that's our NFL Black Quarterback, our weekly Black Quarterback Roundup. We're not organized. We need to come in next week with the leaders.
Right.
You know, who had, you know, how are they ranked? We have to rank.
Do you want to do week by week rank? Or like a power ranking?
Like a power rank of Black quarterbacks.
Yes, yes. Okay.
How they're doing. It's like the Black National Championship.
Yes, yes.
So we'll have our own Black quarterback power ranking and see where we are at the end of the year. We could ask our many listeners who they think will be the top.
Just off the top of the head, I'm just saying who you'd have number one. Let's talk about that. Just who you'd have.
Bridgewater, right?
What about Kyler Murray?
We'd have to compare the stats so far.
I think Kyler Murray has better, more gaudy stats. But Bridgewater's been
steady, more
consistent, but Bridgewater's played lesser competition.
Yeah.
And then you got, you know, Dak. Dak is in the mix. Lamar Jackson would be in the mix.
Yeah. See, this is going to be our way of, like, giving, you know, they'll, no matter who.
Oh, you know who I forgot? We forgot Mahomes. He's probably still number one.
Oh, Mahomes, right. Mahomes, right. He's a default number one.
Right.
Well, can somebody dethrone him?
Right. Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see. Week three is big. You know, because we know nothing after 2 weeks. Week three is where you start to filter out who's actually, you know, good, who isn't, team wise and quarterback wise.
Yeah.
So this is a big week.
Yeah. All right. So before we sign off, we have the NBA, right? The NBA season training camp.
Yeah, starting soon.
And of course, your boy Kyrie Irving is at the once again in the center of controversy.
Right. So Kyrie, it was reported yesterday that he is not vaccinated. That's not really a surprise to most people. You could see him taking that stance for whatever reason. But the problem is, I mean, it's, you know, there's many problems, but the basketball Brooklyn Nets problem is that New York and San Francisco, New York City and San Francisco are two places where they're mandating that the home team be fully vaccinated in order to play in their arenas. So if Kyrie or whoever, if a player is not vaccinated, they would theoretically have to miss all the home games and they'd only be allowed to play on the road. I can't ever see that. That doesn't even seem fathomable.
So what does that mean? That means you can't, as long as you're not vaccinated, you can't play home games.
Right. They're allowing visiting teams could have a non-vax player play, but it's a home team regulation. So and then Golden State is dealing with it with Andrew Wiggins, who publicly said he didn't see himself getting the vaccine anytime soon. So both teams have to figure out what they would do. The Nets GM Sean Marks, he was asked about it earlier this week, and he kind of downplayed it. He acknowledged that there are probably a couple players on his team who, if camp started now, would not be allowed to be in the facility. But he thinks by the time camp starts, and definitely by the time the season starts, that won't be an issue. So I guess he thinks that he's pretty sure Kyrie's going to get vaccinated. Is that what that means?
I don't know. Maybe he'll just play on the road.
So that would go for playoffs. So he's going to playoff time. He's just going to play on the road also?
He just play on the road.
What's going on?
Yeah, Kyrie. So that's kind of the NBA. NBA will have a new NBA Players Association will have a new executive director. Michelle Roberts is going to be leaving, as promised. But she says she's leaving, and she will be replaced. Do you hear the woman that she'll be replaced by another African American woman, which is encouraging.
Tamika Tremaglio.
Yeah. So Tamika Tremaglio. I hope that we pronounce her name correctly.
Right.
If not, we will make it up to her and we'll have her on the show. We've had Michelle Roberts on the show. So we'd like to get her on the show too. So that was a great bit of news for the NBA.
And Michelle, you know, what do you think about the job she did? I thought she did a pretty good job while she was
there. Yeah, I thought she did an excellent job. She took over, kind of settled things down.
Right.
The players have continued to, there's been a very smooth relationship between the NBA and the NBA, you know, the owners.
Right.
Because I guess everybody's making money.
Right. And I think she brought like a level of professionalism.
Right.
To the post, which helped negotiations. You know, she got along with Silver.
Yeah.
You know, they were able to work together. Everything was like logical and worked the way it had to go. So I think she brought that, you know, what's the guy's name she followed again?
Billy Hunter.
Billy Hunter. Yeah. His time was a little more,
much more combustible.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't think his case, he's still got a case against the NFLPA.
I remember when
NBAPA.
Yeah, we had Michelle, this is way back, this is like years ago when she first took over, we had Michelle Roberts on the show, and she came in very critical of Billy Hunter and what his tenure was doing.
Yeah. So congratulations to the NBA Players Association. You know, maybe one day, I think next week we'll have to talk a little baseball too. We have the baseball playoffs.
Yes.
Heating up, even though they've only still got. I was talking to Ken Shropshire yesterday.
Yes.
And he's doing a 25-year retrospective of his book. He wrote a book about race and sports 25 years ago. And the numbers were 3 black managers back 25 years ago. Mm-hmm. I think there's like 2 now.
And we know there are less black players now in Major League Baseball. Definitely, you know, the game has changed. You know, the stolen base is completely out of the game. A lot less athleticism, and also a lot less. I don't think it gets the media and coverage it used to get.
No,
as a whole. So, yeah, no, I agree.
His grandfathered in.
Yeah,
so with the no stolen bases.
Yeah, no, I mean that's basically not part of the game anymore. Stolen base. I mean, if you look at the stolen base leaders now, the leader probably has about 20 stolen bases.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? It's basically been taken out of the game. People will say that's analytics, but I also think that's about the players on the field too.
Right. We want to keep it
right.
A certain way.
So it's not the same game. I'm still a baseball fan. I'm still a Mets fan. They let me down, of course, again this year. But
how far have they dropped back? They were there.
I think they shot their load trying to get back into it, and then they had a couple tough losses, and then they collapsed again. So they're completely out of it now. They're completely out of it now. The Yankees still have a chance. I think the Yankees are right there for that second wild card spot in the American League. I have a friend of mine who has a big time son. His son is big time left handed pitcher. He's getting recruited by all these big time schools for baseball. And he was telling me he feels that black baseball is going through like a resurrection period at that age. He said there's even a black all-star game for a black high school all-star game in Miami this weekend, which includes Andrew Jones from Atlanta. His son is supposed to be some phenom coming up in high school, and he said there's a lot of young black talent in the high school ranks right now. So he thinks that things are going to change again in the next few years.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be great because it's a great sport to play. I mean, you could, play in that sport forever. And as we mentioned, not getting chewed up.
Yeah, no running back.
No running back position, right? The catcher would probably be about the closest.
Yeah, the catcher's the closest. Catcher's tough. Catcher might be the second toughest position after running back.
That's an unthankful position.
Yeah, no. You get foul balls and everything.
You get hit and then squatting for 3 hours.
No, couldn't be me.
No, sorry. Yeah. All right, man. Well, listen, this is a good roundup. You got to – everybody should stay tuned for next week for our Black Quarterback Ranking headed toward our Black Quarterback Championship.
Yes.
And
it's a crowded field. Not crowded, but competitive field.
Yes, a competitive Justin Field.
Yes.
So we'll see. And then depending on how he does, we'll have my brother on from Germany.
Yes.
To talk Justin Fields. All right, man. Well, listen, hope you guys have a great week up there and enjoy your weekend in Brooklyn. And, your son's involved in any sports now?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like PE class for me. You don't have a choice. But he's playing baseball. He likes baseball a lot. He's 7 years old. He's playing basketball, and he's playing flag football.
Oh, okay.
So
flag, no tackle yet.
Not yet.
That'll be the big challenge when he comes and says, "I want to play tackle football."
Yeah, it would be a challenge, especially from his mother.
I'm sure. She said, no. Yeah. Absolutely not.
Even though he's like the biggest kid right now, so he I think he'd be okay. But
yeah, he's like Derrick Henry of his age group.
Exactly.
Just punishing. and no taunting. We'll take up the taunting rule.
Yeah, we got to talk about that next week.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, listen. Have a great weekend. All of our billions of listeners, many listeners, keep listening. What do you do? Keep subscribing, Jamal.
Yeah, keep subscribing, especially on social media @BrosPod on Instagram and Twitter. Listen to us wherever you listen to your podcasts, of course. Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Spotify. We're there. And of course, this episode was brought to you by Bet Online. So get out there and spend some money and make some bets on these football games on Sunday.
Bet Online. All right, everybody. Continue to stay safe. The pandemic is still real.
Yes.
And God bless. See you next week.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.